Looking like a breaking, probably sütümü iç kızım. Saçların beyazına mı sakladın alevini, yoksa güneş sende mi batıyor, batıyor geceleri, yoksa güneş sende mi kederine anam, yiğitler bitmez bizde. Çiçekte tohum biter mi? Ölüm toplasa da çiçekleri, çiçekte tohum biter mi?
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were your trade, would you still find me carrying the pots you made, following behind me? See my love through loneliness, see my love for sorrow. I've given you my holiness, come give me your tomorrow. If you worked your hands in wood, would you still love me? Answer me, baby, yes I would, I'd put you above me. And if you were a miller, had a mill wheel grinding, would you see it written on my face, I'm here for the finding? See my love through loneliness, see my love for sorrow. I've given you my loneliness, come give me your tomorrow. If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? Would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
So you can't blame the youths of today. today. You can't fool the youths. You can't blame the youths, none at all. You can't fool the youths. You teach the youths about Christopher Columbus, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about Marco Polo, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Hawkins, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Morgan, and you said he was a very great man. So you can't blame the youths of today. You can't fool the youths. You can't blame these youths, none at all. You can't fool. All these great men were doing robbing, raping, kidnapping, and killing. So-called great men were doing robbing, raping, kidnapping, and killing. So you can't blame the youths of today. You can't fool the youths. You can't blame these youths, none at all. You can't fool. From the wise and the prudent, it's now revealed to the base and the subtle. What was hidden from the wise and the prudent, it's now revealed to the base and the subtle. The Lord call upon the youth, cause he know the youth is strong. Judge a call upon the youth, cause he know the youth is strong. So you can't blame the of today. You can't fool the youth. You can't blame these youths, none at all. You can't fool the youth.
Said he was a very great man. Said he was a very great man.
Did you youths about Christopher Columbus? Said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the Marco Polo, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Hawkins, and you said he was a very great man. You teach the youths about the pirate Morgan, and you said he was a very great man. So you can't blame the youths of today. You can't fool. You can't blame these youths, none at all. You can't fool.
Tales of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, dramatized by Brian Sibley. The storyteller is Maurice Denham.
It was many years after my adventures in Narnia that I heard of the place again. I'd grown up and become a professor. In fact, I was quite an old man and lived in a big old country house. It was during the war, when lots of bombs were being dropped on London, and children in London were sent away to live in the country where it was safer. Four young people came to live with me, and with their visit began the second Narnian adventure.
Hello there. I'm Professor Kirk, and you must be the Pevensey children. Perhaps you'd be kind enough to tell me which of you is which.
I'm Peter, sir.
My name's Susan.
Edmund?
And I'm Lucy.
Ah, good. Well, it's very nice to have you here, and I hope you'll be happy. I'm afraid I don't know much about children. So long since I was a child myself, I've forgotten most of what I knew, and I never had any children of my own. Anyway, I expect you'll find some way to keep yourselves amused.
Thank you, sir. We'll try not to be a nuisance.
Thank you.
I doubt if you'll be that.
You'll find it rather difficult to be a nuisance to anyone in a house this size, although I'm not sure my housekeeper, Mrs. McCready, would altogether agree with me. So perhaps you'll try to keep out of her way if you can. It'll make life easier for all of us. Now, let me show you to your rooms.
I reckon it's going to be great here. That old chap will let us do anything we like.
Peter's right. I think he's an old dear.
Oh, come off it, Susan.
It's time you were in bed, Edmund.
Who are you to say when I'm going to go to bed? Go to bed yourself.
Hadn't we all better go to bed? There'll be a row if we're heard talking.
No, there won't, Lucy. It's about 10 minutes' walk from here down to that dining room, and any amount of stairs and passages in between.
What's that?
It's only an owl, stupid. And I bet there's more than just owls land here. Did you see those mountains as we came along? And the woods? There might be eagles and stags.
And what about badgers?
And rabbits?
Yes, and foxes.
We might find anything in a place like this. Let's go and explore tomorrow.
Yes, let's do that.
Good idea.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Of course, it would be raining.
Oh, do stop grumbling, Ed. 10 to 1 could clear up in an hour or so.
I wanted to go exploring.
Well, if we can't explore outdoors, let's explore indoors.
Yes, great! Where shall we start?
And that was how the adventure began. You see, my house is the sort of place you never seem to come to the end of.
What a long room.
And all full of paintings.
I expect these are Professor Kirk's ancestors.
What a boring old lot.
Come on.
The first few doors they tried led only into spare bedrooms. But then they found another door. And another. And eventually they looked into a room that was quite...
empty.
Not quite. There's that big old wardrobe.
I wonder what's in there.
Oh, look! Here's something else!
What?
It's a blue bottle on the window!
Oh, you sick child!
This really is exciting.
Not much point staying here.
Come on, then. Let's try down here.
There's some more stairs.
Doesn't take much to amuse you lot, does it?
I'll just take a look in the wardrobe.
Come on, Lucy.
I'm coming in a minute. I expect it'll be locked.
Oh, it's open. Mothballs! The wardrobe's full of fur coats.
There's even more coats behind. I've never seen so many fur coats. This must be a very big wardrobe. I think I'll just climb in. That's funny. I can't feel the back. It must be simply enormous. What's that? More mothballs, I suppose. No, it seems like... but it can't be. Snow? Ouch! What's that? Why, it feels just like the branches of a tree. Something's falling. It is snow. There's a light over there. But how? Oh, I'm not in the wardrobe. I'm in a wood, and it really is snowing. I can see the open door back there and the empty room, so I can easily get back if anything goes wrong. That's where the light's coming from now. It's a lamppost. But what's a lamppost doing in the middle of a wood? Something's coming. Oh, what a strange-looking person.
He was, indeed. Only a little taller than Lucy, he wore a red scarf and carried an umbrella white with snow. From the waist upwards, he was like a man, but his legs were shaped like a goat's. And instead of feet, he had goat's hoofs. He also had a tail neatly caught up over the arm that held the umbrella. This kept it from trailing in the snow. Sticking out of his curly black hair were 2 short pointed horns. He was a faun.
He's certainly in a hurry. I wonder what all those parcels are he's carrying. Looks like he's been doing his Christmas shopping. Excuse me.
Good gracious me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you jump. You've dropped all your parcels. Here, let me help you pick them up.
Thank you. Forgive my asking. I don't want to be inquisitive, but should I be right in thinking that you are a daughter of Eve?
My name's Lucy.
But you are, forgive me, you are what they call a girl?
Of course I'm a girl.
You are, in fact, human?
Yes, of course I'm human.
Oh, to be sure. How stupid of me, but I've never seen a son of Adam or daughter of Eve before. I am delighted. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Tumnus.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Tumnus.
And may I ask, O Lucy, daughter of Eve, how you have come into Narnia?
Narnia? What's that?
This is the land of Narnia, where we are now. All that lies between the lamppost and the great castle of Caer Paravel on the eastern sea. And you? You have come from the wild woods of the west?
I got in through the wardrobe, in a spare room.
Ah, a spare room. Wardrobe. Daughter of Eve, from the far land of spare room, where the eternal summer reigns around the bright city of Wardrobe. How would it be if you came and had tea with me?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Tumnus. But I was wondering whether I ought to be getting back.
It's only just around the corner. And there'll be a roaring fire and toast and sardines and cake.
Well, it's very kind of you, but I shan't be able to stay long.
If you will take my arm, daughter of Eve, I shall be able to hold the umbrella over both of us. That's the way. Now, off we go. Here we are. Boiled eggs, sardines on toast, buttered toast with honey, tea and cake.
That looks lovely, Mr. Tumnus.
Oh, well, do start.
This is a very cosy little home.
Oh, thank you. Of course, it was just a cave when my father found it, but he made it into one of the nicest homes in these parts. That's my father's picture over the mantelpiece.
Your father?
How's your egg?
Just right, thank you.
Good. All those books there, my father's. He was a very well-educated faun. And he knew so many tales of old Narnia. More toast?
Thank you. Tell me about Narnia in the old days.
As he did, Lucy wanted to cry and laugh and go to sleep all at the same time. So beautiful was it, Lucy hardly noticed the hours slipping by.
Oh, Mr. Tumnus, I'm so sorry to stop you, but I really must go home. I only meant to stay for a few minutes.
It's no good now, you know.
No good? What do you mean? I've got to go home at once. The others will be wondering what has happened to me. Mr. Tumnus, whatever's the matter? Mr. Tumnus, don't. Please don't. What's wrong? Aren't you well? Dear Mr. Tumnus. Mr. Tumnus, stop it at once. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A great big fawn like you. Here, take my handkerchief.
Thank you.
Now, what on earth are you crying about?
I'm crying because I'm such a bad fawn.
I don't think you're a bad fawn at all. I think you're a very good fawn. In fact, you're the nicest fawn I've ever met.
Oh, you wouldn't say that if you knew. No, I'm a bad fawn. I don't suppose there ever was a worse fawn since the beginning of the world.
But what have you done?
My old father would never have done a thing like this.
A thing like what?
Like what I've done. You see, I'm in the pay of the White Witch.
Who's she?
The White is she that has got all Narnia under her thumb. It's she that makes it always winter. Always winter, never Christmas. Think of that.
How awful. What does she pay you for?
Oh, that's the worst of it. I'm a kidnapper for her. That's what I am. Look at me, daughter of Eve. Would you believe that I'm the sort of fawn to meet a poor innocent child in the wood, one that has never done me any harm, and pretend to be friendly with it, and invite it home to my cave, all for the sake of lulling it asleep and then handing it over to the White Witch?
No, I'm sure you wouldn't do anything of the sort.
But I have.
What do you mean?
You are the child. I had orders from the White Witch that if ever I saw a son of Adam or daughter of Eve in the woods, I was to catch them and hand them over to her. And you were the first I've ever met.
Oh, but you won't, Mr. Tumnus. You won't, will you? You mustn't.
And if I don't, she's sure to find out. And she'll have my tail cut off and my horns sawn off and my beard plucked out. And if she's specially angry, she'll turn me into stone, and I shall be only a statue of a fawn in her horrible house until the four thrones of Caer Paravel are filled. And goodness knows when that will happen, if ever.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Tumnus, but please let me go home.
Yes, of course I will. I've got to. I see that now. I hadn't known what humans were like before I met you. I can't give you up to the witch, not now that I know you. I'll see you back to the lamppost. But we must be off at once, and we must go as quietly as we can. The whole wood is full of her spies. Even some of the trees are on her side. Come along. There. There's the lamppost.
Yes.
Can you find your way to Spare Oom and Wardrobe from here, Daughter of Eve?
Yes, I'm sure I can.
Then be off home as quick as you can. And can you ever forgive me for what I meant to do?
Why, of course I can. And I do hope you won't get into too much trouble.
Farewell, Daughter of Eve. Perhaps I may keep the handkerchief?
Yes, please do. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm back. It's all right, everyone. I've come back.
What on earth are you talking about, Lucy?
But Susan, haven't you been wondering where I was?
You've been hiding, have you? Poor old Lou. Hiding and nobody noticed. You'll have to hide longer than that if you want people to start looking for you.
But I've been away for hours and hours.
She's crazy.
What do you mean, Lou?
Exactly what I said. It was just after breakfast when I went into the wardrobe, and I'd been away for hours and had tea, and all sorts of things have happened.
Don't be silly, Lucy. We've only just come out of that room a moment ago, and you were there then.
She's not being silly at all. She's just making up a story for fun, aren't you, Lee? And why shouldn't she?
No, Peter, I'm not. It's a magic wardrobe, and there's a wood inside it, and it's snowing, and there's a fawn and a witch, and it's called Narnia. Come and see.
Don't be stupid.
Please. Please, come and see.
All right, we'll come. You lead the way.
Now go in and see for yourselves.
Honestly, Lucy, just an ordinary wardrobe. Look, there's the back of it.
What a surprise.
Looks pretty solid to me, Lou. We half believed you for a moment.
But it isn't a story, really and truly. It was all different just now. Honestly, it was. I promise.
Come on, Lou. That's going a bit far. You've had your joke. Hadn't you better drop it?
No, no, I won't, because it's not a joke. It's a truth.
And for the next few days, Lucy was very miserable. And that's how things went on until one wet day when the children decided to play hide-and-seek. Susan was it. And when the others ran off to hide, Lucy ran straight to the room where the wardrobe was.
I shan't hide in the wardrobe, because that will only start the others off talking about it again. I want to have one more look inside.
Oh, no, someone's coming. I'll have to hide in there after all.
There she goes. I'm going to follow her. She thinks I'm Susan come to catch her, and so she's keeping quiet at the back. Lucy, where are you? I know you're here. I'll just open the door to get some light.
That's funny.
Where is the door? Thank goodness there's some light. The door must have swung open on its own. It can't be. I don't believe it. It's just like Lucy said. So her imaginary country wasn't imaginary after all. Lucy! Lucy! I'm here too, Lucy. It's Edmund. I suppose she's angry about all the things I've been saying lately. Lucy! Look, I'm sorry. I didn't believe you. You were right. Okay, do come out. She's probably sulking somewhere. Oh, well, I'm going back. Hello? What's that?
Two reindeer, as white as snow, with gilded antlers, were pulling a sledge towards him at great speed. Driving the reindeer was a fat dwarf, dressed in white fur, and wearing a red hood with a long gold tassel. Behind him sat a great lady, covered in white fur up to her throat, and holding a long golden wand, and wearing a golden crown. The most striking thing about her was her face, which was very white, except for her very red mouth.
Tom! And what, pray, are you?
My name's Edmund.
Is that how you address a queen?
I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. I didn't know.
Not know the Queen of Narnia? Ha! You shall know us better hereafter. But I repeat, what are you?
Please, Your Majesty, I don't know what you mean. I'm at school. At least I was.
But what are you? Are you an overgrown dwarf that has cut off its beard?
No, Your Majesty. I never had a beard. I'm a boy.
A boy? Do you mean you are a son of Adam? What they call a human?
Of course I am, Your Majesty.
And how, pray, did you come to enter my dominions?
Please, Your Majesty, I came in through a wardrobe.
A wardrobe? What do you mean?
I opened the door and just found myself here, Your Majesty.
Ah, the door from the world of men. This may wreck all. But he is only one, and easily dealt with. My poor child, how cold you look. Come and sit with me here on the sledge, and I will put my cloak round you, and we will talk.
Yes, Your Majesty.
There, that's better. Perhaps you would like something hot to drink.
Yes, please, Your Majesty.
Very well.
But how?
With this. One drop of liquid from this bottle dropped upon the snow and... your hot drink. Pass it to him, dwarf.
Yes, Your Majesty. At once, Your Majesty. Here you are, son of Adam.
Thank you.
Is that good?
I've never tasted anything like it. It's so sweet and foamy and creamy. It's warming me right down to my toes.
Good. But it is dull to drink without eating, son of Adam. What would you like best to eat?
Turkish delight, please, Your Majesty.
Very well. Another drop and the very best Turkish delight.
Gosh, I've never seen such a big box.
Dwarf, undo the ribbons and open the box for him.
Certainly, Your Majesty. Here you are, boy.
Go on, try it. Well?
Wonderful, thank you.
Now then, tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm Edmund Pevensey. And I've got one brother, Peter, and two sisters, Susan and Lucy. Oh, this Turkish delight is good.
There are four of you, you say?
That's right.
Two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve, neither more nor less?
Yes, I told you that, Your Majesty.
I see. And how many of you have been to Narnia?
Only me and Lucy. She's been here before and met a fawn.
Fawn? What was his name?
Mr. Something or other funny name. Tumnus, yes, that's it. Mr. Tumnus.
Tumnus. I'll have his tail. And who else knows about Narnia?
Nobody.
Are you quite sure?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Son of Adam, I should so much like to meet your brother and sisters. Will you bring them to see me?
Maybe.
Because if you did come again, bringing them with you, of course, I'd be able to give you some more Turkish delight.
Why can't I have some more now?
The magic will only work once. In my own house, it would be another matter. It's a lovely place, my house. I'm sure you would like it. There are whole rooms full of Turkish delight. And what's more, I have no children of my own. I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince, and who would be king of Narnia when I am gone. While he was prince, he would wear a gold crown and eat Turkish delight all day long. And you're much the cleverest and handsomest young man I've ever met. I think I would like to make you the prince.
Me?
Someday. When you bring the others to visit me.
Why not now?
Oh, but if I took you there now, I shouldn't see your brother and your sisters. I very much want to know your charming relations. You are to be the prince, and later on, the king. But you must have courtiers and nobles. I will make your brother a duke and your sisters duchesses.
There's nothing special about them. Anyway, I don't even know the way back to my own country.
That's easy. Do you see that lamp? Well, straight on beyond that is the way to the world of men. And now look the other way and tell me if you can see two little hills rising above the trees.
I think I can.
Well, my house is between those two hills.
So next time you come, you only have to find the lamppost and look for the two hills and walk through the wood till you find my house. But remember, you must bring the others.
I'll do my best.
And by the way, you needn't tell them about it. It would be more fun to keep it a secret between us two, wouldn't it? I'm sure that would be best. You see, if your sister has met one of the fauns, she may have heard strange stories about me. Nasty stories that might make her afraid to come to me. Fauns will say anything, you know. And now...
Please, 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 couldn't I just have one more piece of Turkish delight to eat on the way home?
No, no. You must wait till next time. On, dwarf.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Next time! Next time! Don't forget! Come soon!
Oh, Edmund, so you've got in too, isn't it wonderful?
All right. It is a magic wardrobe after all. I'll say I'm sorry if you like, but where on earth have you been all this time? I've been looking for you everywhere.
If I'd known you'd got in, I would have waited for you. I've been having lunch with Mr. Tumnus, and the White Witch hasn't done anything to him for letting me go, so he thinks she can't have found out.
The White Witch? Who's she?
She's a terrible person who calls herself the Queen of Narnia, though she has no right to be queen at all. She can turn people into stones and do all kinds of terrible things, and everyone hates her.
Who told you all this stuff?
Mr. Tumnus.
You can't always believe what fauns say.
Who said?
Everyone knows it. Ask anybody you like. Anyway, let's go home.
Yes, let's. Oh, Edmund, I am glad you've got in too. The others will have to believe in Narnia now that we've both been here. What fun it will be. Come on.
What's up with Lucy?
She's pretty excited about something.
We're in here, Lou.
I'm glad I found you.
I'd hardly say you found us. The idea of hide and seek
is... Lucy, what is it?
It's all true. It really is.
Hello, everybody. Game over.
It seems that way. But go on, Lou.
It's there. There is a country you can get to through the wardrobe. Edmund and I both got in. We met one another in there, in the wood, didn't we? Go on, Edmund. Tell them about it.
What's all this about, Ed?
Oh, well...
Tell us, Ed.
Well, Lucy and I have been playing, pretending that story of hers about a country in the wardrobe was true.
But Edmund!
Just for fun, of course. There's nothing there, really. I mean, how could there be?
Edmund!
Oh, wait a minute, Lou!
There she goes again. That's the worst of young kids. They always...
Shut up, Ed.
Peter, do you think we ought to tell the professor, in case Lou's not very well?
That's why Susan and I thought we should come and talk to you, Professor Kirk.
Ah, well, let me ask you both a question. What is it that makes you disbelieve Lucy's story?
Edmund said they'd only been pretending.
Yeah, but tell me, who would you say was usually the more truthful, your brother or your sister?
That's what's so odd. Up until now, I'd have said Lucy every time.
Mm-hmm. And Susan?
Same as Peter. But this couldn't be true. I mean, a land inside a wardrobe.
Well, you see, there are only three possibilities. Either your sister is telling lies, or she's mad.
Mad?
Or she's telling the truth.
What but do you mean?
Well, now, you know she doesn't tell lies, and it's obvious she's not mad. For the moment, then, unless any further evidence turns up, we must assume that Lucy is telling the truth.
But even if there was such a place, Lucy had no time to go anywhere. She came running after us the very moment we were out of the room. It was less than a minute, and she pretended to have been away for hours.
Ah, well, exactly. And that is the very thing that makes her story likely to be true. If there really is a door in this house that leads to some other world, and if Lucy had found her way there into that world, I shouldn't be at all surprised to find that the other world had a separate time of its own.
A separate time, Professor?
Yes. Maybe, however long you stayed there, it would never take up any of our time. On the other hand, I don't think many girls of her age would invent that idea for themselves.
You mean, if she was pretending, she would have hidden for a reasonable time before coming out and telling her story?
Precisely.
But do you really believe that there could be other worlds, all over the place, just around the corner, like that?
Well, nothing is more probable.
But what are we to do?
Well, I think we might all try minding our own business. Oh, by the way, there's a party from the local historical society coming to see the house tomorrow. Now, Mrs. MacReady will be taking the round, so perhaps you'd better do your best not to get under their feet. Now, much the best thing if you keep out of the way.
I wish I could try this on. I've always fancied being a knight in armour. The great Sir Peter riding off to fight another heroic battle.
You'd be lucky, it's too big for you. What we could do is see if we can take it to bits.
Look out, here comes McCree and a whole gang with her.
Come on, we'll go through the library.
But the children seem to find themselves being followed everywhere.
Here they come again.
Where now? Here, let's get into the wardrobe room till they pass. No one will follow us in here.
Want a bed?
Oh, do be quiet, Edmund.
See?
Quick, there's nowhere else. Into the wardrobe.
Can't you move over a bit, Susan?
I'm just as comfortable as you are.
For goodness sake, both of you, be quiet or they'll hear us.
I wish they'd go away.
Oh, I'm getting cramped.
So am I, thanks to you. Oh, and what's that awful smell?
Mothballs. I expect the pockets of these coats are full of them.
There's something sticking into my back.
And isn't it cold?
Now you mention it, yes. It is cold. And it's wet too. What's the matter with this wardrobe?
Let's get out. They've gone.
Oh, what's wrong, Susan?
What's up now?
What is it?
I'm sitting against a tree.
And
look, it's getting light over there.
So it is. And look there and there, trees.
And this wet stuff, snow.
Why?
It is.
I do believe we've got into Lucy's wood after all. Have we, Lou?
Yes, this is it.
I'm really sorry I didn't believe you, Lou. Forgive me.
Of course.
What do we do now?
Do? Why, go and explore the wood, of course.
Oh, it's so cold. What about putting on some of these coats?
Well, they're not ours.
Oh, I'm sure no one would mind. It isn't as if we wanted to take them out of the house. We shan't even be taking them out of the wardrobe.
I never thought of that. Come on, then.
We can pretend we're Arctic explorers.
This is going to be exciting enough without pretending. Let's start, shall we?
Just a minute. Ought we be bearing a bit more to the left? That is, if we were aiming for the lamppost.
So,
Edmund,
you really were here.
Well, what if I was?
But fancy making out Lucy was telling lies.
Where are we going anyway?
I think Lou ought to be the leader. Goodness knows she deserves it. Where will you take us, Lou?
What about going to see Mr. Tumnus? He's the nice fawn I told you about.
Good idea.
Lead the way then, Lucy. Come on, Edmund, try and keep up.
So off they set, walking briskly and stamping their feet. At first, Lucy wondered whether she'd be able to find the way, but she recognized an odd-looking tree in one place and a stump in another, and brought them at last to the very door of Mr. Tumnus's cave. But there, a terrible surprise awaited them.
Phew! Somebody certainly had a go at this place. The door's smashed off its hinges.
Let's go inside.
Mind how you go, Lou. It's awfully dark.
There's been a fire. Somebody's burnt all the furniture.
And all Mr. Tumnus's lovely books.
And there's broken china everywhere.
That's the tea service he used when I came to tea. Oh, dear. No.
What is it?
It's only a picture of some ugly old character. It's Mr. Tumnus's father.
Somebody slashed it to shreds with a knife.
Well, I must say, this is a washout.
Hello, what's this? It's a letter or something. Nailed right through the carpet to the floor.
What's it say?
I can't read it in this light. Let's get out in the open.
Well, it was a waste of time coming here.
Oh, do give over, Ed.
What does it say, Peter?
The former occupant of these premises, the Fawn Tumnus, is under arrest and awaiting his trial on a charge of high treason against Her Imperial Majesty, Jadis, Queen of Narnia, Chatelaine of Caer Paravel, Empress of the Lone Islands. Also a charge of comforting her said Majesty's enemies, harbouring spies, and fraternising with humans. Morgrim, Captain of the Secret Police. Long live the Queen.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to like this place after all.
Who's Queen Jadis, Lou?
She isn't a real queen at all. She's a horrible witch, the White Witch. It's all on my account that poor Mr. Tumnus has got into trouble. He hid me from the witch and showed me the way back. We simply must try to rescue him.
A lot we could do when we haven't even got anything to eat.
Shut up, Ed. What do you think, Susan?
I don't want to go on, and I wish we'd never come.
but I've a horrid feeling that she's right.
That's what I feel, too. I'd suggest we went back and got some food, only I'm not sure we'd get into this country again once we got out of it. I think we'll have to go on. If only we knew where Mr. Tomlins was imprisoned.
Look, there's a robin. It's the first bird I've seen here. I wonder if birds can talk in Narnia. It almost looks as if it wanted to say something to us. Please, can you tell us where Tumnus the Fawn has been taken to?
Congratulations! Now you've frightened him off.
He's only flown to the next tree.
I think he means us to follow him.
I have an idea. He does. What do you think, Peter?
Well, we might as well try it.
The robin appeared to understand the matter thoroughly. It kept going from tree to tree, always a few yards ahead of them, but always so near that they could easily follow it. And in this way, they travelled on for about half an hour.
Peter, how do we know which side that bird is on? Why shouldn't it be leading us into a trap?
I'm sure a robin wouldn't be on the wrong side.
If it comes to that, which is the wrong side? How do we know the fawns are in the right and the queen is in the wrong? We don't really know anything about either.
The fawn saved Lucy.
He said he did, but how do we know that? And there's another thing. Has anyone the least idea of the way home from here?
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, no!
What's the matter, Lou?
The robin, it's flown away. And now what do we do?
Shh! Look.
What?
There's something moving among the trees over there to the left.
Where?
There. It goes again.
I saw it that time, too. It's still there, behind that big tree.
What is it?
Whatever it is, it's something that doesn't want to be seen.
But what's it like?
It's some kind of animal. Look, quick, there it is.
I know what it is. It's a beaver. I saw the tail.
It's holding its paw up to its lips, as if warning us not to make a noise.
Now it's beckoning to us.
It wants us to go with it.
I know. The question is, are we going to? What do you think, Lou?
I think it's a nice beaver.
Yes, but how do we know?
Won't we have to risk it?
Further in. Come further in. Right in here. We're not safe in the open.
Come on, let's give it a try. All keep close together. We ought to be a match for one beaver if it turns out to be an enemy.
Only when it had led them into a dark spot where the trees grew close together did the beaver begin to talk to them.
Are you the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve?
I suppose so, at least with some of them.
Not so loud, please. We're not safe even here.
Why? What are you afraid of? There's no one here but ourselves.
There are the trees.
Trees?
Yes. They're always listening. Most of them are on our side, but there are trees that would betray us to her. You know who I mean.
If we're talking about sides, how do we know you're a friend?
Not meaning to be rude, Mr. Beaver. But you see, we're strangers.
Quite right. Here is my token.
Oh, of course. It's my handkerchief. The one I gave to poor Mr. Tumnus.
That's right. Poor fellow. He got wind of the arrest and he gave this to me. He said if anything happened to him, I must meet you here and take you to...
Who, Mr. Beaver?
Shh. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps has already landed.
Now a very curious thing happened. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside them. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if beautiful music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up and realize it's the beginning of the holidays.
What about poor Mr. Tucker?
Not here. I must take you all to where we can have a real talk and also some dinner. Will you come?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Beaver.
Right. Follow me and keep together. Be as quiet as you can.
They hurried along behind the beaver who led them through the thickest parts of the forest for over an hour. Everyone was beginning to feel very tired and very hungry when suddenly they came out under the open sky and found themselves looking down into a steep, narrow valley.
What a beautiful place.
It's more beautiful in the spring when the river isn't frozen. But then, it hasn't been spring in Narnia for many years.
There's a dam.
Did you make that, Mr. Beaver?
Merely a trifle. Merely a trifle. And it isn't really finished.
It's lovely. Is that your home on top?
It is. And if that smoke is anything to go by, I'd say Mrs. Beaver is expecting us. I'll lead the way.
We're right behind you, Mr. Beaver. Ed, what are you staring at?
Those two small hills over there.
I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince and who would be king of Narnia when I am gone.
Come on, Ed, don't dawdle.
Well, now, here we are. Come inside, everyone. I found them, Mrs. Beaver.
Oh, dear.
Here are the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve.
So you've come at last. Oh, to think I should have lived to see this day. Oh, dearie me, sit here at my sewing machine. What must you think?
Don't fuss, Mrs. Beaver.
Don't fuss, he says, as if this wasn't one of the most important days in the whole history of Narnia.
Mrs. Beaver, they are tired and cold and hungry.
Of course they are. Now come along in, come along in. Get those coats off. Warm yourselves. Here we are. So everything's ready. I dare say you're hungry.
We are starving, thank you, Mr. Beaver.
You must be. Well, we've got fresh trout.
Oh, lovely.
And boiled potatoes for dinner, followed by marmalade rolls.
I love it.
I hope it'll be to your liking.
It sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Mrs. Beaver.
Well, then come to the table, then, and I'll dish up.
Well, now, can anybody eat any more?
Not me. No. I'm completely full.
So am I, Miss.
Plenty. Yes.
Me too, but that was a lovely meal, Mrs. Beaver, really.
Good. Well, then, I'll make us a nice pot of tea.
Good. After tea, we can get down to business.
Oh, it's coming on to snow again.
Oh, good.
Good.
Oh, good.
We shan't have any visitors. And if anyone should have been trying to follow us, why? He won't find any tracks.
Oh, that's a please will you tell us what happened today, Mr. Tumnus?
Ah, yes, that's a very, very bad business indeed. There's no doubt he was taken off by the police. I got that from a bird who saw it done.
But where's he been taken to?
Well, they were headed northwards when they were last seen. We all know what that means.
No, we don't.
I'm afraid it means they were taking him to the White Witch's house.
But what will they do to him, Mr. Beaver?
Well, you can't exactly say for sure.
All full of statues, they say her house is. In the courtyard, up the stairs, in the hall. People, she's turned into stone.
Stone?
Oh, no. But can't we? I mean, we must do something to save him.
Oh, I don't doubt you'd save him if you could, dearie. But you've no chance of getting into that house against her will and ever coming out again. Alive.
But the fawn saved my sister at his own risk. We can't just leave him to have that done to him.
It's no good, son of Adam. It's no good you're trying, of all people. But now Aslan is on the move.
Oh, yes, do tell us about Aslan.
Who is Aslan?
Aslan? Why, don't you know?
Who?
He's the king. He's the lord of the whole of Narnia. But not often here, you understand. Never in my time or my father's time. But the word is that he's come back. He's in Narnia at this moment. He'll settle the White Queen, all right. It is he, not you, that will save Mr. Tumnus.
How do you know she won't turn him into stone, too?
Oh. Lord love you, son of Adam. What a simple thing to say.
Turn him.